Blog Talk Radio.
I brought you something close to me. Left for something new. See through your head. You aren't my chain. Nothing to do but believe.
Show is for mature audiences only. That means, boys and girls, you must be 18 years of age or older to listen.
Normally, my show is geared towards single men and women, but tonight we're going to delve into the lives of married men and women. If you're a married woman listening to my show this evening, let me ask you an interesting question. If your husband cheated on you, would you put 100% of the blame on him for his bad decision? Or would you ask yourself, what could I have done to prevent this? Now, some women would immediately respond by saying the behavior a man chooses to exhibit is on him. That is his own doing. Be accountable for your own behavior. But what if you've been emotionally distant with your husband? What if you've paid 10 times as much attention to your children and teenagers than you have your beloved spouse? What if you have not really taken the time to buy new lingerie, a new sexy fragrance, or just be experimental in bed? What if you, for lack of a better term, have become a boring companion? You and your husband find yourselves just going through the motions. No real passion between you two at all. Now ask yourself, is that really all his fault? Or do you share at least some of the blame? My guest for the evening is a nationally known, well-respected author who not too long ago made a very memorable appearance on the Oprah Winfrey Show, among other television appearances. This author and relationship advisor was bold enough to suggest that when a man cheats on his wife, it is not only he who is to blame for his infidelity, but it is, if only indirectly, the fault of his female spouse who has no longer made the effort to involve herself in her husband's life and interest. Who is this man who chooses to go against the grain of conventional relationship advice and include the wife as a partner in crime who contributes to her man's desire to seek physical and sexual companionship with another woman? His name is M. Gary Newman, and tonight this controversial book author has taken time from his extremely busy schedule to get up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
Oh my God, is this A. Alan Roger Curry of Mode 1 fame? Oh my God.
You're really good at this.
I gotta ask you, do you feel that black men have some type of unwritten obligation to date and marry someone in the race? You do?
I think they do. I think white people should date white people. I think black people should date black people.
Now, how'd you come up with this idea to go to Italy with the women?
With the women, right. I just got so tired of hearing all my male friends talk about Brazil and how great Brazil is for them.
When I was growing up, I would go and hear about black women complaining about white women are stealing our men. Don't complain about your goods being stolen if you casually leave them on the front porch.
Have sex. Enjoy your life.
You know, men really want women to have standards. They really do. And I don't know how we got off of the mark there, but men do like classy women, and they want women to have standards.
I think you can be single and be very, very happy, and I think it's about taking the pressures off about being married.
I'm not saying that you should disrespect the woman. Never disrespect your woman, but the key is to not let her walk all over you.
Romantic love is very volatile. People don't realize it. And it is a drug. People don't realize it. Men and women do stupid things. Not all men, but sometimes you'll do something stupid.
I think it's a turn-on because just to see that person, just to enjoy themselves and just to watch them touching that person and making them feel good, I think that's kind of sexy, actually.
Yo, yo, mode one. This is Gerard McClendon from Chicago Tonight and the McClendon Report. Right now you're listening to Upfront and Straightforward with my good friend, Alan Roger Curry. Mode one, let the women know, fellas, what you're really thinking. Ha ha, Alan Roger Curry.
True genius of America, that America can change. Our union can be perfected. What we've already achieved gives us hope for what we can and must achieve tomorrow. This election had many firsts and many stories that will be told for generations, but one that's on my mind tonight is about a woman who cast her ballot in Atlanta. She is a lot like the millions of others who stood in line to make their voice heard in this election, except for one thing. Ann Nixon Cooper is 106 years old. She was born just a generation past slavery, a time when there were no cars on the road or planes in the sky, when someone like her couldn't vote for two reasons, because she was a woman and because of the color of her skin. And tonight, I think about all that she's seen throughout her century in America, the heartache and the hope, the struggle and the progress, the times we were told that we can't, and the people who pressed on with that American creed. Yes, we can.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. We're on a Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, and I'm your host, Alan Roger Curry. And today is Thursday, November 6th, and the voice you just heard was, of course, none other than our newly elected president of these United States. That's right. Barack Obama, the junior senator from Illinois, whose quick ascension up the political ladder has resulted in an iconic status that has made him a highly watched figure all over the globe. Congratulations go out to President-elect Obama, his wife Michelle, and his two beautiful daughters. Tonight's show takes a departure from my normal theme of enhancing the lives of singles to addressing one of the major concerns of married couples, which would be infidelity. My guest for the evening is a highly respected marriage and sex counselor, as well as a best-selling book author. But before I get to my interview with him, I want to plug my next two episodes coming up. Next week, I will have on my show an up-and-coming author by the name of Anthony Miner. Miner is the author of a book entitled, If You Like Chocolate, Eat Chocolate. If You Like Chocolate, Eat Chocolate. Learn to Manage the Chocolate You Desire. His book emphasizes how a woman's attitudes towards dating and relationships are formed in her adolescent years, and of particular influence, her attitudes are formed by the relationship she has or doesn't have with her father.
the father-daughter relationship. That's what his book mainly examines, and I'm looking forward to that interview. Then in 2 weeks, I will have celebrity stand-up comedian and Essence Magazine relationship guru, Finesse Mitchell. You might know him from Saturday Night Live. He was on Saturday Night Live, I want to say, for like 3 or 4 seasons, and he will be my guest in 2 weeks. His book is entitled Your Girlfriends Only Know So Much, A Brother's Take on Dating and Mating for Sisters. So I'm sure with his quick wit and creative sense of humor, that show will be off the chain. So please mark your calendars for Thursday, November 13th, and then the next week, Thursday, November 20th, that will be Anthony Miner and Finesse Mitchell. I want to do, as I always do, give a shout-out to my chat room. I got my ace, boom, coon, close friend, frat brother, Maurice Taylor of Indianapolis, who goes by the name of Mo Ice in the chat room. I got the lovable and articulate Wendy K. I have Seeing Clearly. Got my boy Hypert. Hypert is in the chat room. My cousin, my younger cousin from Detroit, Christopher Curry, he's in the chat room as Hype Style. Got my girl who brought Ohio through for Obama. Her name is Adrian. She goes in the chat room by Diva362636. That's right. Indiana and Ohio went from blue states, from red states to blue states. Ain't that something? 50 and retired. He's a long time upfront and straightforward loyalist. Music Nika. Love me some Music Nika. Got Leo Mom. Ask Miss Nordon. I'm sure others will start to come in the chat room. As always, I appreciate you in the chat room, as well as my other listeners listening to the show tonight. Let me give some more kudos. First, many thanks to the co-founders of Blog Talk Radio, CEO Mr. Alan Levy and Chief Operating Officer Mr. Bob Cherish. The Blog Talk Radio executive staff, which includes but is not limited to Mr. John Sweet, Mr. Luke Armour, and Ms. Hillary Lee Wong. My broham, ace confidant, Stephen Curry. My cousin in Chicago, J.P. Jones, at the bar in Maplewood, New Jersey. Tony Reed in Chicago, TSB, Thomas Bailey in Dallas, all my fellow Blog Talk Radio Network family, Will Wavy, the Lavologist, Kathy Holloway Hill, Andre and Amber, and just way too many more quality hosts to mention at this time. If you get a chance, listeners, please check out the weekly lineup of all the high-quality talk radio shows available to for you to listen to on this internet radio network, Blog Talk Radio. And if you can't listen to a show live, if you can't listen to a show live, you can always listen to it as what's called an archive podcast, a downloadable archive podcast. My podcasts are available on iTunes. So go to iTunes, put in Alan Roger Curry, and all of my past episodes will come up. You'll be able to download them to your MP3 player, iPod, etc. As I mentioned earlier, Barack Hussein Obama is our new president. He is the first African-American president, man to be elected president, I should say. And I'm sure his inauguration celebration is going to be just incredible. But he's not partying or celebrating just yet. He's getting down to the business of choosing his cabinet. And he has already chosen his chief of staff, and he's going to be slowly but surely choosing other members of his cabinet over the next few weeks. And I wish him the best of success. I know I will do my part as a United States citizen to help do as much as I can to contribute to the community around me. And I would hope that all United States citizens, both Democrat and Republican, will do their part to help improve this country, because Lord knows we've had experienced some tough economic times in this country, as well as a number of other flaws and weaknesses in the country, and no one man can do anything. He's not going to be a messiah. But what he has already done is inspire a number of young people, a number of minorities, and I just wish him the best. Susan Lucci, if you're All My Children fans, Susan Lucci was booted off of Dance with the Stars. I know her fans went crazy. They didn't like that. Yeah, the judges was just dogging her the last dance out. So she's off, but Warren Sapp is still on Dance with the Stars. Warren Sapp, believe it or not, that big old guy, he used to play for the Buccaneers, is still on Dancing with the Stars. Speaking of getting booted, if you're an NFL football fan, man, DeAngelo Hall got booted. If you don't know who D'Angelo Hall is, he was a two-time Pro Bowl All-Star at cornerback. And, man, the Raiders just got rid of him, just dumped him. I mean, he got like a seven-year contract worth about like $30 million or more dollars, and they just got rid of him, put him on waivers. That's like unheard of in the NFL to boot somebody off of that caliber of talent. Speaking of talent, Allen Iverson is now a member of the Detroit Pistons. They call him the answer, but I got the question, is he going to lead the Pistons to an NBA championship? Because I don't think anybody can get past the Boston Celtics myself. That's just me. But we'll see what Allen Iverson can do. And did you know a poll came out recently that shows that 1 in 5 men under 35 admit to cheating on their wives? But more interesting, 1 in 7 women under 35 admit to cheating on their husbands. The report says that the stat for men is not too far different from 20 or 30 years ago, but the stat for women is indeed far different from 2 or 3 decades ago. So, makes you go, women, 1 in 7 women. And speaking of cheating, my guest for the evening is a licensed marriage and sex counselor who resides in Miami Beach with his wife and 5 children. He has been featured in Time Magazine, People Magazine, Parents Magazine, and a number of other top-notch media publications that's just too many for me to mention right now. He's also been featured a number of times on the Oprah Winfrey Show. As a matter of fact, he was just on there, I want to say about 6 to 8 weeks ago. It was very entertaining and informative show. Some of the women was riled up by some of the things he was saying and asserting. But he's also been on NBC's The Today Show as well as ABC's The View. His best-selling book is entitled The Truth About Cheating, Why Men Stray and What You Can Do to Prevent It. On behalf of Upfront and Straightforward and the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network, give it up, listeners, for Mr. M. Gary Newman. How are you this evening, Mr. Newman?
I'm doing great, Alan. Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. Now, can I call you Gary?
Please do.
Yes, Gary. Now, you know your book has got some women riled up. Because I've been getting emails when I announced that you were going to be a guest, and the general response from a lot of women was, how dare this Mr. Newman say that women are at fault for their husbands cheating? What has been the general reaction from your female readers versus your male readers?
Truth is, and I appreciate you starting off with that because it did cause much more controversy than I really anticipated. Simply put, I think there's a difference between people who hear about the book and those who actually read the book. Of course, in the title, I think it's suggestive and women have thought perhaps that there's some justification behind cheating, which is ridiculous, or that in some way I'm implying that women somehow are responsible. If you read the book, there's even big letters there. I'm not blaming the victim. The book is really about empowering women. It's simply saying that we bring out the best and worst in our mates. Energy is very important in a marriage. And I really wanted to find out straight from cheating men and faithful men, because I did research with 200 men across the U.S., 100 who physically cheated and 100 who remained faithful. And I wanted to kind of peek inside their minds so that women could feel empowered, that instead of just hoping that their men won't cheat and just hoping that if they work hard and take care of the kids and work outside the home and everything that they do, that their husbands will just, so-called behave, I wanted to know if there was something that they could do to reduce the odds and, of course, at the same time, create a much better marriage. And I was amazed that, yes, they could, plus a lot of surprises along the way. I've already, you know, Alan, I've written a book before this called Emotional Infidelity, How to Affair-Proof Your Marriage. I take cheaters to task. I have a book now that I'm working on, I'm doing the research now, about why women cheat. So I'm doing the same book for husbands about how they can prevent their wives cheating. So it was never intended to imply that there's any justification to cheating. But we do have to remember in a marriage that we're responsible for each other and to each other and to the best of our ability to bring out the best. So if I can say to you that there's a handful or just a few things that you can do as a woman that statistically I've proven can reduce the odds of your husband cheating, I think you'd want to know about that.
I would agree with that. Well, yeah, I would think most mature women who are interested in having the best marriages possible would, yes, they would want to be enlightened on what steps they could possibly take within their control to prevent their man from going astray. Now, I know you're a licensed marriage and sex counselor, but was there any particular, say, conversations you had with couples or friends that led to you writing this particular book, or this is just an idea you always had in your mind to write?
Well, you know, I wrote a book before this. You know, I started a program for children of divorce, and I'm proud that I've had over 200,000 children around the world go through my Sandcastles program. And that's a program to help children ages 6 through 17 through divorce, and I've written a book about it, Helping Your Kids Cope with Divorce, the Sandcastles Way, which has been out for about 10 years now, and I'm very proud of it. And as I began to continue my work, I realized that the best way to help families in crisis and children of divorce is really to bolster marriages and give people some really clear, simple solutions to how to make their marriages great. And that's been my quest of late. And that's why I went to do the research. You know, I really just wanted to find out why men cheat. I really wasn't even planning on doing the research, but because it had not really been done, or really not done at all effectively, I felt that, you know, I was put in this place in time to see that through. You know, I also, there was an interesting experience I actually had on the Oprah Show a few years ago, which kind of convinced me, and that was when I was on to talk to the wives. There, you know, after 9/11, as you might remember the story, there are firefighters who helped the widows of their fallen comrades. Mm-hmm. And in so doing, they fell in love with them, had affairs with them, and actually left their wives and lived with them. And it was a fascinating moment because as you saw these men, you know, this idea to say that men who cheat, just men are pigs, they're disgusting, foul people, and they're just bad, you really couldn't say that. You know, I mean, here were firefighters. These were heroes. I mean, nobody could disagree that point, and that they could still cheat on their wives. So it kind of formulated for me the idea that, you know, people who cheat, they're doing a horrible thing. They're doing a bad action, but they're not necessarily bad people. They could even be heroes in our society. So I really wanted to search what was going on in our marriages that could give way to this kind of behavior. And I think that's where there's not meant to be a justification. I understand what a lot of women, you know, want to say is, look, he shouldn't cheat because he shouldn't cheat, period, no matter what's going on at home. Okay, no, of course, I agree with that. You know, perhaps if you have a bad marriage, of course, or a lifeless marriage, clearly you should divorce your spouse before you would go ahead and cheat. But my point in the book is, you know, you want to make your marriage much better and understand it's not just that men are pigs. I've learned statistically, I can prove to you through the research, that they're not just looking for the next sexual conquest by the numbers, the majority of men. It's a lot more emotional and a lot more complex than that.
Mm-hmm. Good feedback. Yes, and I do remember hearing about the whole, you know, that 9/11 scenario you mentioned. Callers, if you have a question or comment for my guest, Mr. M. Gary Newman, the number to call in is 646-478-5710. Again, that's 646-478-5710. I actually saw a couple of callers in the queue, And they dropped off. Well, let me see. I think I might have one caller already. Okay. Caller, you are now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and my guest, book author M. Gary Newman. What's your question or comment?
Is this Miss Know-It-All?
Hello?
Hello?
This is Miss Know-It-All, you said?
I think. Can you hear me?
I can barely hear you. Can you speak up louder?
I can barely, yeah.
I'm going to talk. Can you hear me now?
Can you hear Gary?
I don't know what to do. Wait.
I can barely hear. I'll strain. You might have to help me out, Alan, with the question.
Come on, young lady. Speak up loud so we can hear you.
Okay, what about now? What about now?
That's okay. Better.
Okay,
that's
what's your question or comment?
Okay, I have a twofold question. I believe that cheating has all to do with the person themselves, because if you're going to cheat, you're going to cheat. And, I mean, it's like, I wouldn't cheat because I believe, and I would be, like, scared to. Do you know what I'm saying?
Sure. Is your question that, are there some men who are going to cheat no matter what? That's a good point.
Exactly.
And let me break down the numbers for you. 12% of the cheating men said they would have cheated no matter what. No matter, their wife couldn't have done anything. They could have been the most wonderful. They could have been connected to them, whatever. But that still meant that 88% of the cheaters did say that there was immense dissatisfaction at home. Now, the reason I had the faithful group was to show you that in the faithful group, the amount of problems or issues was extremely reduced. So clearly the people who cheated statistically had a lot more dissatisfaction in their marriage. Now, you could be correct. I mean, I try to look for different issues that would cause, you know, an individual, you know, I looked to, for example, if a man's father had cheated, yes, there's no doubt that the cheating men had a higher rate of fathers who cheated than the faithful men.
Go ahead.
But what about the person's
What about the person's own beliefs? I mean, what if it has all to do with me? Let's pretend that I'm going to jump.
I didn't get it, Alan. I'm sorry. Can you speak up?
Yeah, we're still having problems hearing you. Your voice is getting low.
My gosh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. What if it has everything to do with me and nothing to do with him?
What if everything has to do with me? I have to explain myself. It's hard to hear. I'm sorry.
Well, I guess what I'm trying to say is maybe I'll call back. Maybe I have a bad connection.
Get your thoughts right now. We want to try to answer your question, but we got
to
hear the question first.
I really want to know what he thinks about this. I really want to know what he thinks about the fact that no matter what the wife looks like or acts like, what if it's the man's inner belief he's not going to cheat for fear of, you know, thou shalt not commit adultery, that sort of a thing?
Well, moral belief. Yeah, no, is that the end of the question, or were you still asking something? I'm sorry, it's hard to hear. Okay, well, first of all, let me clear up a couple things statistically that I've found, because this is really important, and we haven't gotten into it yet, but 88% of the cheaters said that the mistress was no better looking or in better shape than their wives. And that's something I highlight in the book because, you know, women should be, and I'm surely tired of women being convinced by the media and magazines that unless you have some kind of, you know, PhD in prostitution education, your husband's going to cheat. You know, it's false. It's not about that. The issue of morals and values and religion is something I search for. There was no difference between the cheating and the faithful men as far as before they cheated. The only way I could test that was by asking questions about whether they were going, how often they were going to religious services. That doesn't mean that I would like to think I personally aspire to be a spiritual and religious man. I'm Jewish. I happen to have a rabbinic degree. I've served as a rabbi for a period of my life in a synagogue. So I surely would like to think that religion is a key to being different as far as lack of cheating. Unfortunately, from my research, it didn't show as something that was statistically important. Again, statistics doesn't dictate to you and your spouse. It just gives a broader indication of such. So I guess, you know, I hope that answers your question.
Well, thank you, caller. And let me give a little just comment to our callers. Please, and I don't know if this is, you know, some factors outside of her control, but please, if you call in, ask a question, make a comment, please make sure you're on a quality phone and speak up clearly so my guest and I can hear you. 95% of my listeners who do call in, I usually have no problems, but I did have a few problems as well as my guest hearing those particular questions and comments from that young lady, so just wanted to say that. So in your book, Gary, as you just mentioned, you generally dispel the notion that married men only have affairs with women who are better looking and or kinkier or better in bed than their wives. If that's not the case, what are, say, a good two or three reasons why men cheat if it's not related to looks or sex appeal?
Yeah, well, so to break it down for you, only 8% of the men, cheaters, said that it was sexual dissatisfaction at home that was the primary contributor to their physical infidelity. 48%, which is the number one answer, said that it was emotional dissatisfaction. And then 32% rather said that it was about 50-50 sexual and emotional. But what floored me was that 48% of the men said that it was primarily emotional dissatisfaction at home. Because, you know, we think of men, society, we are all thought of as sexual beings and not very emotional. And I have to say, I think many men are not emotionally articulate. So women are being fooled, wives are being fooled into thinking that their wives aren't looking, that their husbands are not looking for emotional connection. Under that emotional connection, the number one thing that men said that they felt that they were missing at home was appreciation. They felt underappreciated. They thought there was a lack of thoughtful gestures and kindness. And unfortunately, when they were on the outside and the mistress began to admire and give them appreciation, they did the wrong thing. They were surprised at themselves at how insecure they were and how good it felt to have that on the outside, and they did the wrong thing and cheated. So what I'm trying to help women understand is that with something with very little effort, kind of going back to the pleasantness when we were dating, the simple compliments and the simple kindness and thoughts, it goes a long, long way for men, trying to boil it down to that specific issue. So that was the number one big thing that I could say to women now confidently, that if you want to make a change in your relationship and you want to make your relationship better and you want to reduce the odds of tragedy, just send out those vibes of appreciation more for your husband. And believe me, commonly it will come back to you. You'll be modeling it. It will come back to you. One of the nice things I learned from all men in my study was that they very much wanted to please their wives. It was not like these cheaters were cavalier about their cheating. They wanted to make their wives happy at home. They felt they couldn't. And again, that could have been because, you know, they were hard to get along with. But what women need to understand is that although men, they look big and tough and strong and they don't want to be patronized or belittled, let's say, rather, they do have insecurities, and the more you offer them in the way of that kindness, the more they feel like they can win with you at home, and they're motivated to give more and more. And if there's anything that we all need to know about men, it's that they love to be winners. If you have watched your husband watch a sporting event, any sporting event, any man, of course, you would think that he has some kind of partial ownership in the team that he's watching, you know? I mean, it's unbelievable, right?
Yeah, that's
and
good.
A man will, and you know, Alan, we will watch a game to the bitter end as long as there's a chance that we can win. If there's a blowout and there's no chance, TV goes off at that point for most men. So there's this idea at home, a lot of the cheaters were saying that the moment that they felt that they just couldn't win at home, that was a point at which they realized now that they were on very unsafe territory, and when opportunity arose, unfortunately, they did a terrible thing and decided to cheat. So number one is appreciation and that kindness, and that will come back to you. Number two, let me dispel something about sexuality, because sexuality was an issue for a lot of the people. It might not have been the primary issue, but it was still an issue. So I asked, and we researched with these men, what was it about sex? And the number one answer by a long shot, it was about frequency. And this also is really a great thing for women to know, is that men, yes, they are sexual beings. They connect and they feel like winners when they are sexual. But it's not about it being an unbelievable sexual experience. They just want sex more. You know, that was primarily the issue. And I go to great lengths in the book, as you know, Alan, to talk to women about how they can enjoy sex more personally, how they can teach their husbands, or at least, you know, work with their husbands to understand more about their husbands and their own sexuality, both physically and emotionally, so that women can enjoy sex more and want to have it more. And much of my book is about just having the knowledge and the empowerment to start a conversation. It kind of goes like, hey, honey, you know, you want to have more sex. You know, I, as a woman, I want to have more sex too. So I tell you what, tonight, let's clean up together. Let's get the kids to bed together so we can fool around later. You know, it's about having the openness conversation instead of what unfortunately happens in so many marriages, where everybody just kind of gets tired, sticks their head in the sand about all issues, just kind of, you know, do their thing independently for a few years, and then they're surprised a few years later when someone's cheating or they've grown apart and they're distant.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to take one more call, and then we're going to take a quick break, and then come back and ask you some more questions, get some more comments. But I have another call in the queue, and I hope they have a good phone. You are now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, my guest, book author M. Gary Newman. What's your question or comment? Hello?
Yo.
Can you hear me?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello? Can
yes,
you hear me?
Hear you. What's your question or comment? Hello. Okay, I guess something's going wrong. Well, anyway, we're going to take about a 3-4 minute intermission so Gary can get him a swig of water, and then we'll come back and ask him some more questions about his best-selling book, which is entitled, again, The Truth About Cheating, Why Men Stray, and What You Can Do to Prevent It. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Celebrating 25 years of the countdown.
25 years of the countdown.
With Walt Baby Love.
Live in our countdown studios, ladies and gentlemen, a personal friend of mine, Mr. Stevie Wonder.
Now live with me on the countdown hotline, it's Justin Timberlake. Live with me in our countdown studios, my friend Tina Marie. Welcome, Tina. On the countdown hotline, live, Eric Benet. As promised, my friend Kirk Franklin. As promised, it's Natalie Cole. As promised, y'all, Kenneth Babyface Edmonds. As promised, John Legend. As promised, live on my countdown hotline, Alan Roger Curry. Welcome, Alan.
The old to the new to the old. The old to the new to the old.
Only for the grown and sexy.
The grown and sexy.
The countdown with Walt Baby Love.
Hey, this is Dangerous Lee. When you aren't being upfront and straightforward with my man Alan Roger Curry, you should definitely be keeping it dangerous with me and HP every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern by listening to Ask Dangerously Live right here on Blog Talk Radio. Simply direct your computer to AskDangerously.com for your weekly dose of danger. And if you can't get enough of me on Friday nights, join me at MySpace.com/DangerousLee.
What's up, folks? This is Alan Roger Curry of Upfront and Straightforward and Mode 1 fame. And if you're a music lover, I urge you to listen to Madison Media Radio. It's not just music, but it is music with a purpose. Right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
Are you ready for the best morning show with a legal twist?
Then tune in every morning to www.blogtalkradio.com/in the know from 8 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. for Legal Beat in the Morning with Attorney Anthony Reed. Tune in every morning to ask questions about legal issues, discuss hot topics, and start your day off right. Legal Beat in the Morning with Attorney Anthony Reeves on www.blogtalkradio.com/in the know. It's more than a show. It's an experience.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. We now return to my interview with marriage counselor and book author M. Gary Newman on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. You're listening to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, and my guest for the evening is a licensed marriage and family counselor. His name is M. Gary Newman, and he has a number of books out, but the book we're emphasizing tonight is a book entitled The Truth About Cheating, Why Men Stray, and What You as a Woman Can Do to Prevent It. And, Gary, when you were mentioning that women are generally thought of as being more emotional when it comes to dating and relationships than men, is this an invalid perception by society? Are men just as emotional, or as you said, that men don't really know how to articulate their emotions as well as women?
Yeah, I would say that. I would say that men are, human beings are highly emotional people. What men are not, they can't articulate it as much. They don't talk about it as much. And men have an incredible way of being able to compartmentalize. So I think what is sometimes confused for a lack of emotion is really an ability to compartmentalize, meaning that, just the typical experience, a 10-year-old boy who's playing, football, he gets hurt out there on the field and he wants to cry. He's taught not to cry on the field, not to cry at all, but if he's going to cry, wait till he gets back in the car and cry then. He's taught to compartmentalize his feelings. And I think sometimes that's confused by women and men themselves, that they are not so emotional. No, they're very emotional. They have a lot of feeling, but they're taught to hold it in, to display it when appropriate and not when it's perceived as inappropriate. So it's catching up on that idea that they are very much emotional, and that women and men themselves have to tap into that. A lot of I've gotten so many wonderful emails on a variety of levels. But again, the ones that surprised me a little more, I mean, I expected women to be appreciative. I expected that, you write a book, you hope it's going to help people, obviously. And so I've gotten thousands of emails like that. But it's the ones where certain men have actually bought it for their wives. In other words, they've emailed me and said, I couldn't say it. I couldn't articulate it. And when I read it, I said, yeah, that's right on. And I gave it to my wife to give her that message, that if you can just do this for me, I really can't even ask for it. It will help me be that much more of an emotional lover and kind person toward you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, let me ask you this. For the quote-unquote other women, the women that the men are cheating with, Wouldn't you say there are some women who are simply drawn to the allure of a content, sexually satisfied man, and as a result, men give in to that temptation of being offered new and different sexual companionship?
I'm sure that's true to some extent. I just really believe it's much more in the minority than people think. I mean, statistically, I can only go by what the cheating men told me. And keep in mind that for research purposes, half of these men were personally interviewed, never knew their names, never knew who they were, was never going to meet them again. Half of them responded to the same online research through a medical research company. So nobody had any reason to lie or not be completely upfront about, you know, why and what they were doing. I don't believe anymore that men are just, you know, looking for the sex and they love the newness and that's it. I mean, yes, men can love sex and they can look for newness, but that in and of itself, for the majority of men, is not going to cause them to cheat. Yes, there's plenty of opportunity. Yes, there are women who are willing to have sex with married men. You know, all true, all unfortunate. But I don't think that in and of itself is what causes cheating to happen, at least not for 88% of the male population.
Mm-hmm. Now you mentioned you have a book about emotional fidelity, and this is a term I've been hearing a lot. This whole term of, I had a couple of shows where some listeners called in, mainly women, and said, well, I think a guy can emotionally cheat just as much as he can physically cheat. I don't know. I tend to think that term is just overused, but can it be considered cheating if a man just, say, has great conversation with another woman and shares his feelings and stories, but they never actually physically have sex? Is that still considered cheating?
Well, you know, there's some very fine lines there, the way I talk about emotional cheating. First of all, I do believe 100% that you can cheat on your spouse without having physical sex. Let me tell you, as a marital counselor, I can help a couple easier. It's easier to help a couple if a guy had a one-night stand and just had mindless sex with no relationship. That's an easier situation to overcome than a man who now has fallen in love and has as his best friend a woman who is not his wife, and they've never touched each other. So emotional cheating is definitely happens, and I do believe that most of physical cheating happens only after emotional cheating has occurred. In my study, very few men, I think it was 4 to 6% or maybe 4% that had a one-night stand. Most people there was weeks or months before from meeting to actually having sex because they built the relationship. That's why I tell women, look, you know, you're focused on the sex. You know, sex or not, sex is just a declaration of how emotionally involved he is with her. It's the emotional attachment that's the problem. You know, we only have so much emotional energy in life. We can have all the love in our heart we want, but you know, it's a simple mathematical equation. The more energy I'm placing emotionally in the hands of another woman, the less I have for my spouse. And we live in a time where statistically the average U.S. couple spends a mere 12 minutes a day talking to each other. And I'll bet you that most of that talk is about dirty diapers and paying the rent. So, you know, we're in this kind of crisis where in order to be successful at everything else in life, to be a great radio talk show host, to be a great parent, you would tell me, Gary, it's going to take a lot of time and effort and focus. But when I say to people, what's going to take to be a great spouse, they kind of scratch their head and they look confused and they say, a couple of years ago we went on a vacation. The same work ethic, the same focus that we have for everything else in our lives to be successful is not what we apply to our marriage. We do not have marriage-centered lifestyles. Our society doesn't support that. And that's why, you know, I am tell people to be careful about emotional cheating. The example you gave, listen, having an interesting, fascinating, philosophical conversation with another woman, that in and of itself I don't call cheating. However, if that begins to happen with consistency, you begin to look forward to that conversation, and very often you start counting up the time you spent talking to that other woman that week and compare that with the amount of time that you had engaging conversation with your wife, and suddenly it begins to pale. You know, when you start talking to somebody and having conversations and emails and texting to that other woman, and you haven't touched her yet, and don't plan to, but you're doing it, let's say, behind your wife's back, because you know darn well she is not going to be happy and she's going to feel bad about it, you're doing something wrong. Call it cheating. Don't call it cheating. It is time to go back to your spouse and say, something ain't right here at home. What can we do together to make this relationship better? So can I give you a couple ideas, Alan, for people who want to jumpstart their marriage?
Well, actually, if you can hold off a few seconds, because I got a couple calls, and I want to take these calls, and then I'll let you go on with that. Area code.
They can read the book.
Area code 214, you're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and my guest, M. Gary Newman. What's your question or comment?
I have a question, and this is the girl that was not on the phone. Now I'm on the phone. I have a question.
Oh,
I wanted to know. I'm sorry. I have two men over here that are playing pool behind me, and they are listening to the show. And they, my brother is one of them. He's a Dallas police officer. But anyway, he said, what about the idea that men, their husbands can have sex or whatever with another person out of anger because the woman is mean to her, to the husband? Like, I'll get you. You know, have you ran across that, Mr. Newman?
Well, hey, listen, I mean, that is surely possible. It's horrible, though. In other words, listen,
I think it's horrible.
Well, what I'm saying is that, I mean, people who are going to cheat because she's mean to him, that again is a rationalization. It's a justification for doing something horrible. People shouldn't be mean to each other. And my answer to that man isn't, hey, you know, you're in for the life sentence, too darn bad. My answer is, you go to that person, you force therapy, you divorce. Listen, divorce is lousy, we know that, but it's much better than cheating. You know, we have to be responsible to our mates, and we have to live up to our commitments. I've had men, you know, and women, because I'm doing research now, cheat because revenge, because, I had a woman recently in my research say that she cheated because her husband cheated first, so she wanted to take revenge on him. You know something? It's also not correct. In other words, you know, two wrongs don't make a right. So I think this idea, that in any way, that we're justifying our behavior when it's a negative behavior, you know, that's not my intention at all. It's my intention to help people take responsibility for who they are. And wouldn't it be wonderful if a spouse who felt that he was getting lost could come back to his wife and say, again, you know, I'm getting too attracted to other people. Something's wrong with us. I'm willing to look at myself. You're willing to look at you. Let's go to a counselor. Let's go to a clergyman. Let's go somewhere. Let's go to a seminar, and let's start doing something for this relationship. I don't know if that was your question. I guess your question was just if it's possible, and it is, but I wouldn't want people to settle in on that. What are the men saying? Are the two men that you have there, although it's a small statistical survey,
they're going,
what are they saying? Yeah.
Well, they're kind of going, yeah, well, you know, and they're just saying that a lot of men are like, oh, okay, you're mean to me, just watch this. And they'll go behind, I guess, right? Yeah, they're behind the wife's back. The other guy wanted me to ask you, I'm sorry, and I'll hang up and listen if you want me to hang up and listen, but what about the fact that most of the ads that you hear on, a lot of the ads that you hear are about things like Viagra, and what is up with that? Do you know anything about that? And I know that could have something to do with it.
I don't get the question. What do you mean about that?
Yeah, I'm not sure what the question was.
The question is, why do you think that maybe the reason that women are cheating is men are not able to
get it
up or whatever. Exactly. I didn't want to say that.
Oh, Lord. This is upfront and straightforward. You got to be straightforward.
Okay. It's like everything. I mean, seriously, you hear so much down here in Dallas. I know you hear so much about, you know, the Viagra type drugs. It's every other thing on the radio or, you know.
If you ask me why there's a I don't think there's a rise in Viagra drugs. I think since Viagra has come out, it's been a very, very popular drug. I think that one of God's humorous moments is scientifically, my understanding is that a woman hits her sexual peak at around age 40, and a man hits his sexual peak at around age 19. So I think that all that Viagra is for a lot of middle-aged and then, you know, beyond men who probably at that point their wives are coming into their own sexuality in a way that they haven't before. And the men, you know, again, do love the experience of sexuality. And I think it's just, you know, a matter of, you know, helping them in that arena. I don't know. I have not looked at statistics. It would be interesting to see. I'm not familiar with any statistics that sexual dysfunction for men is on the rise or has been on the rise the last 10 or 20 years. So I don't know that it's a change of circumstances or it's just the fact that the drugs are available really for the first time the last 5 or 6 years, which has given rise to, you know, men wanting to do that.
Okay, thank you, caller, for calling a second time. And normally, actually, I don't take callers a second time. You snuck one in on me. But I'm going to move to the next caller. I can't identify the area code. It just says 0000. But you're now up front and straightforward. Alan Roger Curry and my guest, M. Gary Newman. What's your question or comment?
Mr. Mode 1, how you doing,
sir? Benny Randall. Listeners, that's Benny Randall with the distinct voice. What's happening, Benny?
Come on, man. You know I'm blessed. I just want to ask Mr. Newman two quick questions. One, Mr. Newman,
yeah.
When a man and a woman become friends, can they truly be friends even though they may have somebody on the side, or is that a setup for cheating? And number two, if I think about her and dream about her and undress her with my mind, have I cheated, even if I ain't with nobody else?
Even if you're with nobody else?
Exactly.
You mean if you're not married?
In other words, like, you know, you're not married or anything.
If you're not married and you're with a female friend in quotes,
right,
and you undress
but
her with
she
eyes,
she may have somebody.
Oh, she may have somebody.
Right.
I don't know that you are cheating. I think that technically I don't believe you'd be cheating. I think that...
Well, will she, even though we didn't touch each other?
No, if she's thinking of you that way, yes.
Oh, okay.
She'd be cheating. But if she's not thinking of you that way, but you are, nobody's cheating under those circumstances. But, you know, you do want to be so aware of the chemistry. If you're throwing off those vibes, if she one day returns them. And a lot of times what happens in some of these relationships is you might have that feeling, she might not, until... she, you know, goes into a bed few months with her husband or boyfriend. You know, a lot of times we look at those people who were friends before and suddenly they become romantic interests when we hit a bump in the road with our spouse. You know, I just don't think that anybody ever wants to be the person who's responsible for the breakup of a friendship or of a marriage, I mean, especially when there's children involved. So it's something that I think people have to be upfront about or very careful and have to back away if they feel that they're going to lead that person into a place that's going to be really unhealthy for her. Wouldn't be a good friend to do that to her, even though you feel that way about her.
Thank you very much. See, that's why I don't have no woman as friends. You either with me or you ain't with me. You know what I mean? Because
well,
if you become my friend, it's going to be on like popcorn.
That's right.
Baby.
Well, let me ask you. I was going to ask you that question. It's the old Seinfeld question, right? Do you think that men and women can be, or for men, maybe women's different, but do you think from man's perspective that you can have a close, you know, emotional friendship and it not be more than that, at least in the man's mind?
All right. Since I'm not on the Benny Randa show and I'm on up front and straightforward with Mr. Curry, I'm going to have to be up front. And I'm going to keep it to you like a real man to tell you. Ain't no man being no friend with no woman he ain't even least thinking about trying to hit someday when she feeling a little bad, just a little sad, and just maybe there's an idea, you know, because if that was the case, we would have ugly women as friends. And most men, women is not ugly. Okay.
Well, I will say,
so any woman that's my friend, we hanging out together is on like popcorn.
Yeah. Well, no, but I think, you know, the point you bring up, and the way I see this is from a scientific point, a man's emotional and sexual self is very intertwined. And it may be less so for women, not to mean that they are not equally sexual or scientifically have the same pleasure. That's not that. Of course they do. But their emotional and sexual connection might not always go along together. So they can have very emotional relationships and not necessarily have them turn to sexual, although that does happen often. But for men, it's very much a similar pattern. It's much more intertwined, and I think that's why it's very hard for men to become emotional without it bleeding over into the sexual department for the man.
Right. Well,
so
Mr.
I'd be in agreement.
No problem. Thank you for letting me be on your show, and I'm mode one, baby.
Oh, shoot, he said mode one. That means chat room, you know what that means. Now, Gary, I got to ask you this. If you've heard any of my previous episodes, whenever I have a guest and somebody mentions the idea of being straightforward or just mentions the term mode one, I tend to ask my guest, my chant is mode one. So can I get you, Gary, to just say mode one?
I will do my best. Mo-1.
Alan Roger Curry.
You're up front, straightforward.
Alan Roger Curry.
Yeah, you would have to listen to my previous shows to get that, but yeah, that's kind of what I call the Mo-1 indoctrination. As always, we love it when Benny Randall, he's a fellow Blog Talk Radio host, and also host on Black Talk Radio, and yeah, everybody knows him by his very distinct bass voice, and he's just a good all-around brother. Let me take another call from area code 512. Area code 512, you're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and my guest, book author M. Gary Newman. What's your question or comment?
Hi, it's Sunny.
Oh, Lord, Sunny, Perky Sunny.
Why does everybody say called on the Lord when they answer my phone calls? I don't know. Anyway, so I have a very silly comment, okay?
Oh, please don't make it too silly. Ask my guest an intelligent question.
Oh, well, I won't ask a question because, you know, I think I know everything. Anyway, but there was an old movie. An old movie in the 60s, and I don't know if anybody remembers that. I don't know if they're old enough, because we're all just young here on BTR, but in 1962, there was this movie with the beautiful Kim Novak. Now, I don't know if you remember Kim Novak, but not only gorgeous in face and body, but also in mind, and she played this woman sociologist who was doing a study about men cheating. And so there were four men who buddies, and they got together. Three of them were married, one wasn't. And they decided to get her an apartment. They didn't know. They thought she was just a mistress to them. They didn't know she was doing a study. And the thing of the three married men didn't want sex from her. Now, of course, this is hard to believe, but it's 1962 and you don't show a lot of sex in movies. So anyway, you know, it just reminded me of what Jerry said before about, you know, probably, you know, a lot of times it's not just the sex that men cheat on their wives about. It's also about other things like the listening. And in this movie, it was the cooking, you know, different things like that. And, you know, it just, yeah, it's true. I think that's very, very true. I think that men often don't cheat on their wives because of that. You know, I've had dalliances with a couple married men early on in my years, and I'm married myself now. But, you know, I didn't, I mean, yeah, it was sexual with me, but I don't know if it was always completely sexual. You know, men have relationships for many different reasons, I think, you know.
Okay, I need you to drive it home here, Sonny. What's
and
like your
it.
Main
and that's
point?
It. Okay, oh, I'm coming in, and I'm parked. Okay, so that's it. That's all I have to say, my dear, in mode one, my dear. And that's it. So nice to meet you. Is it Dr. Newman, Rabbi Newman?
Yeah,
what should I call you?
Gary's good. My mom calls me Gary. It works.
Oh, I said Jerry. It's Gary. I'm sorry. Anyway. So goodbye.
But I appreciate
and nice
your comments, and I think it's, you know, everybody tries to simplify it, and there's a lot of things that people search for. You know, it's so important for us as we marry to consistently keep that what our needs are and keep our emotional needs connected. You know, when you really are doing the things and secluding the time, when you're going out on a date night weekly and you're having regular uninterrupted times during the week after the kids are in bed, even as short as 45 minutes or an hour. You know, all these things, locking your bedroom door at night so you can be alone with your spouse and have a room where you're not always mommy and daddy, you know, but you're you know, caring adults to each other. You know, there are things that you can do that are somewhat simple or simpler than people think that can really drive the regular friendship together. So that people really stick together through thick and thin. It's when we kind of ignore our relationships, which happens, you know, most of the time, that it really does fall apart. Alan, I think I'm going to have to head out.
Okay. What were those? Before we start taking these last few calls, there were some points you wanted to make. I wanted you to make those points before you take off.
Well, that there's a couple things that people can do, you know, immediately, and I just mentioned them. I'll outline them real quickly, and that is, you know, when people think to themselves that five times a day, I ask couples, all couples, that, you know, five times a day for the next week to initiate some simple loving gesture, a Justin, I love you, a simple hug, a simple kiss, a simple loving gesture. It can be a call that says, I love you from work. You know, calling and saying the kids are vomiting, we need money for the mortgage, by the way, I love you, doesn't count, you know? Just something that initiates that kindness. I ask everybody to have 4 45-minute periods per week when you have uninterrupted time alone, typically after the kids are in bed. Find that time when you can, you know, cook together, read together, hang out together, not watch TV, you know, play a board game, whatever. Do something that just keeps you in contact. Take a walk, whatever it is, something 4 times a week, 45 minutes. It's a minimal amount of time, just 3 hours the whole week we're talking about as a minimum to keep that relationship going. And the date night, you know, when I tell people to go out one night a week on their date, I tell them that they can talk about anything except three things. They cannot talk about money, business, and kids. And couples always giggle and laugh because they say, that's all we ever talk about. What else are we going to talk about? And I explained that that's the purpose of the exercise, that I know when you were dating and falling in love, you were not talking incessantly about money, business, and kids, because if you were talking about the stresses of that, you never would have gotten married. So it's not what got you there. It's not what's going to sustain you. And, you know, making sure that your nighttime routine is such that the kids do get into bed when you have kids, or work is over, community work is done, so that there is that time when you can be together, when you can lock your bedroom door at night. You know, most people with kids, they have this revolving door policy in their bedroom, and because of that, kids are coming in and out of their bed, which can be lovely. The problem is it doesn't allow for us as mature adults to be naked, to be with each other. And I don't mean that everybody's got to be fooling around constantly. It's just to have a space that's secluded where you can look at each other and feel like you're a married couple instead of always the father and the mother. So I explain to people that obviously after the kids are asleep and, you know,
everybody's put away, and that to lock your bedroom door for the night, if a kid is sick or whatever, they can knock on the door and you can go to the door. Whether you're clothed or you're unclothed in bed, whatever, you know, you can still feel like you have this inner sanctum where we are just responsible to each other, you know, in the evening. We spend a lot of time together in bed, unconscious, but that time can be at least a little more feeling, just, you know, in our daily ritual to bring us back together. And, you know, more of that, and it's remarkable what happens. And, you know, I'll just tell people that the book has a lot more solutions. It has a lot more information statistically about, you know, men cheat who lie, how to prevent them from lying, how to find out about the cheating signals, not only once they've cheated, but signals that men give off that they're about to cheat so that you can really, you know, stop it before it happens. Just a lot of information about taking care of yourself, things that I think are so important for every woman to know to make sure that she's, I think we really hit the nail on the head, you know, with the help of all the people, the men and women that I spoke with for the research, to help them really understand their husbands and the way their marriages work and the cadence and rhythm so that they can make it the best marriage that they can make it.
Okay.
And I thank you for giving me the time and opportunity.
Now, can you plug your, real quickly, tell my listeners how they can find you on the World Wide Web?
Sure. Well, the easiest thing, you can go to my site. It's M. Gary Newman, and Newman is N-E-U, not W-M-A-N. That's mgarynewman.com. That's the easiest way. The books, all my books are available through there, but they're all on Amazon. They're in, you know, all the major, you know, bookstores. And you can also go to Oprah.com. If you go to Oprah.com, and you can see I've been on the show about 9 times. So
9 times?
You know,
really?
Yeah, there's write-ups
wow.
on every show and little pieces and stuff and things that we can, you know, things that you can learn from them, and look forward to being on there again. She's quite remarkable, and when you're on the show, the amount of people that you help and the thousands of emails that you get that you can see that you're reaching so many people is really remarkable. So I wish that for all of us.
Okay, well, I thank you for being a guest on my show tonight, and wish you the most success with both of your books, and you said you have a book coming out soon. And, yeah, just want to thank you for providing my listeners with good feedback.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It was nice meeting you, and best of luck. You're doing a great job. Thanks.
Thank you, Gary. That was M. Gary Newman. He was my guest this evening. Right now, I'm going to take another intermission break, but when we come back, we got about 15 minutes left in the show, and what I want to invite, I know I have Robin in the chat room, she says she wants to call in, a few other people want to call in. I want to talk about two things. One, Benny, when he called in, he brought up the subject that men and women, I think, can talk about for week after week, month after month, and that's the question: can a man and an attractive woman really be friends? Women, I want you to call in. Some of the fellas I haven't heard from, I want you to call in after the break. Can a man and an attractive woman truly be friends? Because as Benny alluded to, and most men will probably agree, at some point the man's going to want to get in that woman's pants. You know, it's only so many times you can talk about reruns of the Cosby Show and talk about the weather and the trees and how great that party was. Can man and a woman be friends? I will be right back after this to take some phone calls, but I'm going to run my intermission break so I can get a swig of water. Don't go anywhere. We got a few minutes left.
Booyah! Celebrating 25 years of the Countdown.
25 years of the Countdown.
With Walt Baby Love.
Live in our Countdown studios, ladies and gentlemen, a personal friend of mine, Mr. Stevie Wonder. Now live with me on the Countdown hotline, it's Justin Timberlake. Live with me in our Countdown studios, my friend Tina Marie. Welcome, Tina. On the Countdown hotline, live, Eric Benet. As promised, my friend Kirk Franklin. As promised, it's Natalie Cole. As promised, y'all, Kenneth
Babyface Edmonds. As promised, John Legend.
As promised, live on my countdown hotline, Alan Roger Curry. Welcome, Alan.
The old to the new to the old. The old to the new to the old.
Only for the grown and sexy.
The grown and sexy.
The countdown with Walt Baby Love.
Hey, this is Dangerous Lee. When you aren't being upfront and straightforward with my man Alan Roger Curry, you should definitely be keeping it dangerous with me and HP every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern by listening to Ask Dangerously Live right here on Blog Talk Radio. Simply direct your computer to AskDangerously.com for your weekly dose of danger. And if you can't get enough of me on Friday nights, join me at MySpace.com/Dangerously.
What's up, folks? This is Alan Roger Curry of Upfront and Straightforward and Mo One fame. And if you're a music lover, I urge you to listen to Madison Media Radio. It's not just music, but it is music with a purpose. Right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
Are you ready for the best morning show with a legal twist? Then tune in every morning to www.blogtalkradio.com/in-the-know from 8 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. for Legal Beat in the Morning with Attorney Anthony Reed. Tune in every morning to ask questions about legal issues, discuss hot topics, and start your day off right. Legal Beat in the Morning with Attorney Anthony Reeves on www.blogtalkradio.com/in-the-know. It's more than a show. It's an experience.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network. We now return to my interview with marriage counselor and book author M. Gary Newman on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. Right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
This is Alan Roger Curry back on Upfront and Straightforward. Earlier, my guest was M. Gary Newman. He wrote a book about the truth about cheating, and he was actually still supposed to be on here, but I guess some things came up. He had to take off. So I'm just leaving it at that. But, you know, before I went to this break, I asked some people to call in and talk about the subject that Benny Randall brought up. Can a man, well, I want to hear from both perspectives. From the man perspective, can you as a man be long-term platonic friends with a woman who's attractive, has an above-average degree of sex appeal, and from the woman's perspective, can you be platonic friends with a man who you find physically attractive, sexually appealing, charming, all that? I'm going to take area code 312. 312 is on the line with Alan Roger Curry. Robin, what you got to say?
I know I couldn't do it.
You just straight up. She said, I can't do it.
I wouldn't even try.
You wouldn't even try.
Mm-mm, not me. I know better.
Okay, now what? Give me one example of a situation where you tried. I mean, you honestly tried to be quote unquote just friends with a guy, and then weeks later, months later, you're like, oh, I just got to give him some.
Well, no, it's not going to happen. That's number one. It's not going to happen, but, you know, it's easy. I can see how it could happen. But remember, I'm in men's bedrooms all day.
Well,
and
what do you do?
I'm a custom clother and an image consultant. And
oh,
I'm, it's all
okay.
Men. All men. I'm in their bedroom. I'm in their closet. I'm laying on their bed. I'm laying their crap out on their bed. And we're standing there right next to each other, you know, for hours. And, yeah, sometimes it is tempting.
And are
I mean,
you usually dressed real provocative and sexy?
Oh, yeah, that's real cute. No, I go in a turtleneck, flannel pajamas, one curler in my hair, and I usually black out one tooth.
You silly.
But, you know, honestly, I tell you what happens is that, you know, first off, I have to measure. So I'm already taking a tape measure to a man's body. I have to touch him. I have to touch him. I have to understand his body. And quite frankly, you know, sure, that's exciting. It's exciting for both people. You know, one, he's, you know, this guy's going to look great in whatever it is that I'm making. And two, I'm excited because I know he's going to look great. So how can that not? I mean, over time, sure, that's, you know, it kind of gets you worked up. And then the worst part is when they have to try, when they try things on. And then they're standing there, and they're like, how do I look? And sometimes I can't help but go straight to their crotch.
Ooh,
I try not to.
You bad,
naughty
girl, you.
No pun intended.
So I'm sure you've had situations where a guy, you were like, ooh, you surely are happy to see me.
Yeah, but usually they sit down. And they're just, you know, I can't get up right now. And I'm like, okay, not a problem, I understand. No problem. I'll just wait.
Now, see, you know you're the female version of Benny Rand. You got the men going crazy about your voice. LaValle just said he wants you to have his baby just based on your voice.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Now where can the fellas find pictures of you on the World Wide Web?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I try not to put my picture out there.
You trying to?
Hey, my picture's in the chat room.
Huh?
That is my picture.
I just see a picture of a tie.
Oh, well, there's a person wearing that tie.
Well, I mean, I don't see any face, though.
Well, you're not going to see face when I'm standing there butt-ass naked. I'm not crazy.
Well, so Robin, you think, I know you can't really speak for other women, but do you think from the women you've been friends with, do you think it's a challenge? Because I know for a fact, I will speak for most men, that for most men, it is a challenge. And my friend Maurice in the chat room, Mo Ice, he brought up the movie When Harry Met Sally. That's probably the best movie, and there's been a few. That's probably the best movie, though, that addresses this subject or question of can men and women be friends if they're attracted to each other. But do you think it's just as challenging for women as a group as it is for men?
I think that we, yeah, of course. You know, here's the thing. We do want to do it, and we do want to do it with you guys. We also don't want you to fuck it up for yourself.
Okay, now you mentioned fuck it up. Dang, you just lost my Disney, my PG-13 Disney Channel watching listeners. You just go drop the F word on my show. What is up with that, man?
Oh,
people should know I have PG-13 Disney Channel watching listeners. But since you went there and said fuck it up, a woman once told me, she said, Alan, most men talk themselves out of my pants more so than they talk themselves into my pants. So is it true that less is more? The less talking a man does, the more effective he comes off?
You know, do some head nodding and just look agreeable and don't say too much, because chances are if we go out with you, and this is whether you're married or single, because a lot of us, I'm married, and I, you know, there are days where I think, okay, please don't fuck it up for yourself. Please don't fuck it up for yourself. Please don't, because there's no way that it's going to happen if you piss me off. We're at 8 p.m. We only got a few more hours to go before we're in bed. Don't mess up. Please. Or it'll be another 24 friggin' hours. Because we don't forget shit either.
Yeah, but dang, you're just all over the place. You know, you use the F word, the SH word. I have to, Robin, I have to apologize to my PG-13 Disney Channel watching listeners, because we try to have a family show, But then we have people like Robin call in and just say, yeah, this motherfucker was doing this shit. This,
well, here's the thing. I could dance around it, but then we'd be on the phone all night.
Right? But this is upfront straight. So I like the fact that you're being straightforward, but you're just using spicy language. Let me see who I haven't called out, because I usually like to give I've called out most of the people. Madison Media joined us later. You've heard me do my promos for them. Madison Media is in the house. And, of course, we heard from Benny Randall. We got Robin on the phone. The Lovologist. The Lovologist is one of the Blog Talk Radio family, has arguably the best show on Sunday evening. With his he's another guy with a smooth voice that just woos the women. And his classic characteristic is he's sipping on his Merlot as he does the show. That's the Lovologist. We got Miss Snail in the chat room. Virtual for me. I heard her getting riled up in the chat room tonight. She's usually quiet, but she was like, what is he talking about blaming women for men cheating? That's crazy. She was getting riled up. And then 50 always got something to say. 50 and retires in the chat room. If you're just now joining us, we kind of have gone into a kind of freestyle talk about anything and everything. The main thing we're talking about right now is men and women be friends without trying to have sex with one another? Now, okay, on along the lines, Robin, and then I'm going to let you go. Along the lines of what this guy, my guest, was talking about earlier, do you think, you say you're married, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, if your husband, does your husband have a lot of female friends?
No.
Okay, let's say
he won't have any of that.
Let's say he had like 5 to 10 attractive female friends. Would that make you feel uneasy, because you would feel like, I know he's going to try to get in one of their pants?
Absolutely not.
Oh, you wouldn't feel that way?
No. Mm-mm.
Okay, so are you saying you're secure, or are you just saying you don't think a man being friends with a number of women means that he wants to get in their pants?
I don't think, well, okay, first off, a lot of it depends on the man. I mean, you can't say that everyone would do it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it depends on the man. I don't think that he would, but, you know, I'm not going to swear on a Bible. I'm going to discourage it. And, of course, I'll probably be mean until he gets rid of them. You know, but subtly.
Now, how long have you been married?
How
long have you been married?
17 years.
And does your husband get uneasy about you using your tape measure on all these men's physiques?
No, because it's a job. It's my profession. You know, I also do the style tips for Wall Street Journal and some for Maxim magazine.
Oh, really?
And a lot of men's magazines. Yeah, so I already have a big potty mouth. And he's known that for many years, so no.
Ooh, you got a potty
he's
mouth.
Very
well, duh, like we couldn't tell that tonight.
He's very, very comfortable. And plus, he figures if he's not getting any, nobody else probably is either.
So, Robin, when I do my next professional photo shoot, you going to come and custom design me in some clothes and put your tape measure all around me?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, you're a good-looking man, so just about anything, you can wear it.
Ooh,
and look good in it.
Thank you, Robin. You're getting my ego swelling over here. Shoot.
Well, you know.
Okay. Well, thank you, Robin, for calling in to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, and I look forward to you participating in some of my future shows. And I want you to do me a favor. Tell as many male and female friends about my next two shows.
Mm-hmm.
Next week, I'm going to have a guy named Anthony Miner. He wrote a book called If You Like Chocolate, Eat Chocolate, How to Manage Your Desire for Chocolate, which is a book about he examines how the father-daughter relationship affects women's attitudes towards dating relationships.
You know what, Alan? My mind is truly in the gutter, because when you said, if you like chocolate, eat chocolate, that is not what came to mind.
Ooh, you stay my kinky sex, weren't you?
Yeah, I got to get off the line. I got to go.
Naughty.
But I am marking you my
so
favorite. I am marking you my favorite because I don't want to miss any of your shows.
Ooh, I thank you. Mark me as a favorite, baby. I appreciate
mm-hmm.
that, Robin. And you have a great evening. And, listeners, whether you're in the chat room or just listening outside of the chat room, I'm going to go ahead and extend the show a few more minutes. A couple people wrote me notes saying extend the show because normally I would be about to sign off right now. But if you want to call in, this is kind of a freestyle. I only do this for maybe like two or three shows in the calendar year 2008 where I just kind of spent the end of the show just having free time. So if you want to call in and talk about either A, can men and women be friends? B, if you want to talk about what you think makes Barack and Michelle Obama have a great relationship, call in and talk about that. And just any question related to dating and relationships. First of all, I got to holler at my boy. I think he's still online. Is EVP. He's one of my most loyal listeners, Urban V. Pulliam III. Wait, is he still there? Hold on, let me see. Hey, EVP, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Well, what's up? This is Urban V. Pulliam III, man, one of my dogs from way back in the day. First of all, EVP, I know this doesn't have to do with dating relationships, but I got to ask you, how much joy did you have watching the Obama family take the stage in Grant Park?
I just want to say, yes, we can.
Yes, we can. Yes, indeed.
That was just incredible. Beyond incredible.
Yeah, just, man, that was just. I got to ask you, man. I know you're a pretty, macho fella and everything, but did you get choked up, man? Did you get watery eyed at any point?
Oh yeah, I'm in touch with my sensitive.
You say you're in touch with your sensitive side, huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, moving on to the question I was just asking, EVP, do you think a man can be strictly platonic friends for, say, 6 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years with a woman that they find physically attractive and sexually appealing?
I'm going to be a little bit, of course, controversial, seeing as everybody else tonight, and I'm going to say absolutely yes, they can.
Okay.
That in one way, it would have to be under the circumstances where there is absolutely no physical attraction on either part. If there isn't, they could do it. If there's like one out, can't happen. And it's possible. It is possible. They just cannot be an attraction. And that's possible. It's possible that there's no attraction.
Okay, you said it's possible if there's no attraction, but what if there is an attraction? Either the man finds the woman highly, appealing, or the woman finds the man highly appealing. Do you think at some point it's just inevitable that one of the two is going to break down and make an effort to sleep with the other one?
Yes, in most cases, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think it's down to just human nature almost.
Yeah. Well, all right, EVP, man, I just wanted to acknowledge you because I know you listen in through the phone on most of my shows, and that's why, folks, if you're hearing background noise with EVP, he doesn't listen from his computer. He has this unique phone similar to an iPhone type deal where he listens to my show. He calls into the show pretty much every show I have. He's in the Seattle area. He listens to my show. We grew up together, went to high school together and all that. So, yeah, appreciate him. Now, I see area code 301. 301, you're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your thoughts about the stuff I've been talking about?
Well, hey man, what's up? This is Lifestyles.
I was
on your show last week.
Lifestyles, okay.
Yeah.
What's happening,
I just joined because I was a little late. I was late because I was doing something else, but I kind of joined in the tail end of it. I have a totally different. I don't know what you guys talked about tonight, but
well, initially
as
tonight
far as,
I had
you know, the topic that you talked about.
Well, first let me tell you
have,
the first topic we talked about. I had a guest by the name of M. Gary Newman. He wrote a book called The Truth About Cheating, Why Men Stray, and what women can do to prevent it. And the main thing that's controversial about his book is that he basically makes the argument or the suggestion that when a man cheats on his wife, it's at least partially the woman's fault. He doesn't believe it's solely the man's fault. He believes that there are things that a woman can do and should do to prevent her husband from cheating on her. Do you agree or disagree that it is?
You know, I had a show last week with entitled Almost Exceeding. I laughed when I saw your show, and it, my show is Why Do Men Cheat in Relationships? And the consensus of the whole thing was that to a great degree, while it is left to the it's my responsibility if I'm in a relationship, whether or not I choose to end up having another relationship while I'm committed to one. But at the same time, the dynamics that plays off in a relationship between a man and a woman, sometimes you have to say that somebody has to take partial responsibility, not for him going into the relationship, but because the relationship has broken down, the present relationship has broken down. Because a lot of times women come into a relationship and they start off the relationship doing a certain amount of things, being sexy, being, you know, understanding, doing things that they know that this man like, and they do it. And the tendency is, in most relationships, is that when the relationship has become in a mature sense and everybody's kind of settled down, the tendency is to stop doing what you started. And I always say, don't start something you can't finish. You can't attract me with something, and then when the relationship becomes really nice and it's settled down into marriage or whatever it is, all of a sudden you no longer want to be sexy, you no longer want to be the woman that I fell in love with, and you expect to get the same joy in the relationship. You can't do bad things in a relationship expecting good results. And so I say, keep up with what you're doing. It is his responsibility to stay in the relationship and fix it. But if he's a man that is not committed in that way, and he feels that he's going to solve the problem by going to somebody else, he is going to go outside and begin a relationship thinking that he's going to be solving it, when he really is making it, in most cases, he's making a bad decision and making things worse in his relationship. But I think, yes, I also think that women need to take some responsibility for the breakdown in the relationship, not for the decision that he's made to go outside and have a relationship.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think, and this might be a dumb and or rhetorical question, but why do you think a number of men get married when they know before they even say the words, I do, that they still want to sow their oats and just have sex with a number of women? Do you think a lot of men believe that, like a man told me a couple weekends ago, he said, you got to always have your steady booty, but then you got to be able to have your buffet booty too. What do you think about those type of philosophies?
Well, here's the thing, man. I really think, you know, and I've learned this, and this may sound kind of radical to you. Like, I think there are two places that people learn to lie, and that people teach each other to lie, and that's in relationships, and that is in the church.
Whoa. You said you believe that people.
I believe that there are two places that
church?
People teach people to lie. And that is one of them is in a relationship. And I don't believe that most women grow up with, okay, it is almost like their quest to eventually get married. I don't think most men don't grow up with, well, I want to get married. I think a lot of times brothers are not honest and upfront, but they are pressured into marrying. And they go with the flow, and in the back of their mind, they know that's not what they want.
Wait, hold on a second. You said a lot of men are pressured into marriage.
Yeah, I think
they're
pressured into
marriage. But they're pressured into it.
They're pressured into marriage by society, they're pressured into marriage by family, and all of that. But I don't think it is most men's intentions to really marry. I think it's women's desire to be married. They're always thinking about getting married. But most men, that's not how men think. Men don't think, well, I want to grow up and be married. And when guys get into relationships, if you look at it, most times you're in a relationship with a woman, the question of marriage and seriousness always comes from her side. Because by the time you begin to know this woman, she's already in her mind thinking marriage. She's thinking about what the wedding dress is going to look like. And I'm still getting to know you.
Well, in fairness, I know some brothers who are, like, dying to get married. And before they were married, they were dying to get married. So you can't just say it's just women who endorse the...
Well, in the majority of cases, I think a lot of women, they think about marriage more than a man.
Well, I would say to a slight degree, maybe, but I'm just saying that there are quite a few men, though, I know, who want to settle down with one woman and have a good marriage. But those men aside, my original question, now I want to go back to you saying that people are taught to lie in the church. What do you mean by that?
I don't mean from a preacher standpoint or anything like that. I think the whole idea of, you know, people wanting to hear the truth about what's going on with each other. The myth is you go to church and people say, how are you? And it's like, I'm fine. And people give that impression that all is well in their relationship, all is well in their family. And the truth of the matter is, that's not quite so. You know, so to me, and in relationships, when I say people teach each other to lie, I mean, nobody really wants to hear the truth. If a woman asks you, do you think I'm looking too fat? You better not say, I think you're looking too fat, because she doesn't want to hear that. But the fact is, she may be getting too fat.
So you
and you may want to say,
men,
baby, I think you need to lose some weight. But as a man, you cannot show that. You cannot say that.
Men lie because women can't handle the truth. Is that what you said?
They can't handle the truth.
They can't handle the truth.
So you have to, a lot of cases, you have to, listen, man, if a man is having an affair, which is wrong, if a woman is, if you had an affair and your spouse asks you, are you having an affair? You better not say the truth. She may say, tell me the truth. I can handle it. But that might be a crazy question.
What was your name again? What's your first name again?
Lifestyles. I was just saying Lifestyles.
That ain't on your birth certificate. Lifestyles ain't on your birth certificate. What's on your birth certificate, man?
France?
Well, here's what I believe. I believe that even if women can't handle the truth, you got to give them the truth. Why? Because you got to always be upfront and straightforward,
yeah, but...
and you got to be Mo One. Ain't that right, chat room?
Mo One.
Alan Roger Curry.
Mo One.
Upfront and straightforward.
Mo One.
Alan Roger Curry.
Hey, thank you, Lifestyles, for calling. We're going to go with 678, 678. You are now upfront and straightforward. Alan Roger Curry, what's your comment for this evening?
Alan Roger Curry.
this is my dog, the Lovologist. What's happening, bro?
Man, I'm sitting here chilling with a glass of Merlot in the road. You know what I'm saying? Just chilling.
Why you too smooth, man? So, let me ask you a couple questions. First, what were your thoughts on my original guest, M. Gary Newman? His book suggests that women are at least partially at fault for a man cheating. Do you agree, disagree, partially agree? What?
See, here's the thing, and I can't say that I agree or disagree. I think here's where the problem lies, and follow me when I say this. When we first meet somebody, we always assume that that person is the one, or we want to give that person the shot as the one, okay? So what we do is we actually put such a high expectation on that person. They're supposed to be the one. I'm going to go ahead and work out this relationship with this person because they're going to be the one. Sometimes relationships end up being too long. Sometimes relationships end up, this should have been only a booty call relationship to begin with. Sometimes it should have just been friendship, okay? I think that when we meet somebody of the opposite sex, so much emphasis, especially if you're single, so much emphasis is trying to figure out if that person is the one instead of just saying, hey, why don't we just kick it, have a good time, do whatever, and then whatever happens, happens. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
I think
what it is that there's more pressure on women, okay, to actually get themselves a man because in society that's the way it should be, okay, especially when women reach a certain age. I'm not going to go ahead and blurt out the age on the show or else I'm going to have women in a certain age class try to come down to Atlanta and lick your brother, you know.
Well, I mean, in fairness, though, love, in fairness, they have an issue that we don't really deal with, which is, you know, the proverbial biological clock.
That is true.
And that is very true. Yeah.
That's very true. But also at the same time, I think that if we just go back to the old way, and what I mean by the old way is actually just having fun kicking it, then you wouldn't have to worry about nobody cheating on you or this, is that, and the other, because what happens is that when you force yourself into a relationship, that person doesn't want to be around you anyway. So guess what? They cheat on you. And then you wonder why. That's just my opinion, though.
Yeah. Now, the second thing I want to ask you about that we got into, and this is a question I'm sure has been discussed on a number of shows, which is, I think you even covered this on your show at least a couple of times. Can a man be long-term friends with a woman? I'm not talking about the female friend you got that only got two teeth in her mouth.
Right, got
the cheeseburgers on her arms. But I'm talking about a woman that's reasonably attractive, has a certain degree of sex appeal. Can you, love, be friends with that woman indefinitely without at least once trying to get in her pants?
Are you talking about me personally?
You personally. Well, first you personally, and then I want you to speak kind of for men in general.
Mm. Well, I love women. So, I mean, it's hard.
No.
So, I mean, it's kind of hard for me to just not hit on somebody. I mean, I'll just walk by somebody in passing and hit on them. You know, so it'd be pretty difficult. You know, you say one time, you know, I mean, that's almost impossible for somebody like me. Now, for anybody else, it is possible if there's a communication in the very beginning that, you know, hey, you know, we could be buds. Now, can it happen? Sure. But I think that we live in a day and age right now that sex is really just ravage the world. You know, everything is about sex. Everything is about hitting it, you know, or getting hit. Okay. So in 2008, I don't know if it's possible. I'd like to see it possible because I think that women and men have a lot to offer each other as far as on a friendship level, as far as giving advice, as far as to people and things of that nature, you know. Will it happen? Can it happen? I don't think so. We live in too much in a sex-filled world. Everybody's looking at the booty jiggling and all that stuff, you know,
yeah.
And looking at people's crotches.
Well, my final question for you, and we're coming up to our last 10 minutes of the show, but my final question is this. It's going to be an interesting question. In the last few decades, we've seen a number of couples in the White House. We saw, going back to when I was a little kid, you had, of course, John F. Kennedy and Jackie O.
Right.
They kind of changed the face of White House couples because they were
That's true.
So young and glamorous looking. Then you had, you know, of course, Richard Nixon and his wife, Gerald Ford and his wife. Now, some were marked with controversy, of course, such as Bill Clinton and Hillary with Lewinsky. What do you think, mixing politics and relationships, how do you think that Barack and Michelle Obama's relationship will have an effect on black relationships? And along with that, if there was to ever be a controversy between those two, a public controversy, do you think it would be traumatizing to black relationships?
I think that their relationship is such, I'm going to answer the second question first.
Okay.
I think that their relationship is such is that we will never know if thing is going on in their relationship. It's going to be one of those after they get out of the White House or something like that, where they might just secretly file for a divorce or something like that. Okay, I think that that couple really is strong. I mean, I've looked at them from afar, and I've looked at them from a distance. So I don't think that we will ever find out, as a public, we would never find out if they have marital issues. I don't think it's possible. That's just my opinion, though. Because they seem to have a really strong communicating bond. And I think what this does for black couples is that it actually shows that a woman who has a Harvard law degree, so she's a very powerful woman, can be somebody's wife.
That's a good point, love. I like that point.
It shows that she can be somebody's wife. And it might also bring back public displays of affection. Because they're very affectionate in public, from what I've seen, kind of like the JFK was. You know, they were very, you know, Jackie and John Kennedy were very affectionate, you know, and you see in all the pictures. And there wasn't really any other presidency where you saw, like, couples being affectionate, if you will. And, you know, I mean, if you notice as they walked off the stage during his acceptance speech, and she whispered in his, he whispered in her ear, we didn't see what he whispered, but I saw her whisper, "I love you," you know, and you don't see that a lot in relationships where you can actually show that out in public. I think what it shows is that for all the so-called independent women out there, that you can have all the degrees that you want, but it's okay to be a wife.
Man,
it's okay.
Love, I'm loving your point on that, dude, and I really appreciate you making that point on my show, because that is something female listeners out there, and particularly the women who I run into at some of these relationship chats in Chicago, listen to what Love is saying, is that just because you're successful in your career and you have a number of degrees doesn't mean you can't fit into the role of the wife. And, yeah, that needs to be heard.
And I think that there needed to be an example of that. Kind of like, you know, and I have a six-year-old son. And if anybody don't know by now, I am a black man. Okay. But, you know, I've always been told by my mom that I can be anything that I wanted to be. Okay. Now, I heard from her that what my grandmother told her is that you can be anything that you want to be except for president of the United States. Okay. I can now tell my son, you can be president of the United States and actually mean it, because there's an example of that. So I think that women, and especially black women, because they've really been on a little independent trip here over the past 5, 6, 10 years now. I can do it by myself. Ain't nothing a man can do for me. La, 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 la. I hear it all the time, and it makes me sick. Is that it's okay to be successful. It's okay that, you know, you have all these degrees. It's okay that you have this $100,000 a year job. But if you look at what Michelle has done, she isn't on the forefront. When she's campaigning for her husband, she ain't campaigning for herself. She's campaigning for her husband. And it's okay to be a wife. There's really nothing the matter with it. And I think that part of what got lost in the quote-unquote movement back in the 60s was that black families were really strong in the early 1900s up until maybe part of the civil rights movement. You never heard of black families getting divorced. Daddy was out there scoring 5, 6, 7 women, you know what I'm saying? But mama was still around. I mean, you know what I'm talking about, but I'm not saying that that's good. But what I'm saying is that we need to get back to those values again. And I think that Barack and Michelle will be able to give that example for everybody. Black, white, Mexican, Latino, Native American, you know, everybody. We need to bring those values back at home.
Exactly. Well, I'm running out of time, love, but I appreciate you coming on the show and breaking some stuff down for my listening audience. This, folks, is The Loveologist. His show airs on Sunday evenings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central. He has a great show. His chat room sometimes has like about 75 to 100 people on his show coming in his chat room. Because he just has a large following, and he's in the same theme as me, dating and relationships. And I'm going to run the commercial for the last time, and then I'm going to come back, plug my shows, then I will be out of here. I'll be right back.
Celebrating 25 years of the countdown.
25 years of the countdown.
With Walt's Baby Love.
Live in our Countdown studios, ladies and gentlemen, a personal friend of mine, Mr. Stevie Wonder. Now, live with me on the Countdown Hotline, it's Justin Timberlake. Live with me in our Countdown studios, my friend, Tina Marie. Welcome, Tina. On the Countdown Hotline, live, Eric Benet. As promised, my friend, Kirk Franklin. As promised, it's Natalie Cole. As promised, y'all, Kenneth Babyface Edmonds. As promised, John Legend. As promised, live on my Countdown Hotline, Alan Roger Curry. Welcome, Alan.
The old to the new to the old. The old to the new to the old.
Only for the grown and sexy.
The grown and sexy.
The Countdown with Walt Baby Love.
Hey, this is Dangerous Lee. When you aren't being upfront and straightforward with my man Alan Roger Curry, you should definitely be keeping it dangerous with me and HP every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern by listening to Ask Dangerously Live right here on Block Talk Radio. Simply direct your computer to AskDangerously.com for your weekly dose of danger. And if you can't get enough of me on Friday nights, join me at MySpace.com/DangerousLee.
What's up, folks? This is Alan Roger Curry of Upfront and Straightforward and Mode 1 fame. And if you're a music lover, I urge you to listen to Madison Media Radio. It's not just music, but it is music with a purpose. Right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
Are you ready for the best morning show with a legal twist? Then tune in every morning to www.blogtalkradio.com/in-the-know from 8 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. for Legal Beat in the Morning with Attorney Anthony Reed. Tune in every morning to ask questions about legal issues, discuss hot topics, and start your day off right. Legal Beat in the Morning with Attorney Anthony Reeves on www.blogtalkradio.com/in-the-know. It's more than a show. It's an experience.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network. We now to my interview with marriage counselor and book author M. Gary Newman on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Well, I appreciate everyone joining me tonight. All my chat room listeners, my non-chat room listeners. I saw Thrasher in the chat room, Tony Reeves, Men Talk Radio, and a lot of my regulars, Benny Randall. I appreciate everybody coming on my show and expressing their opinions. And I just got to quickly say, some people were misinterpreting the Lavologist comments. The Lavologist loves women and loves sisters. He was just saying that there are a lot of sisters out here, though, that think because they're successful in their career or because they're highly educated, that somehow being a wife is a foreign term to them, that they don't want to be, like, you know, submissive to a husband. And that's just not the – that shouldn't be the case. And that's what he was making the point about Michelle Obama. She's a successful woman in her own right. But she does the role of the wife very well. So I just wanted to say that. But anyway, join me next week. Anthony Miner has a great book about father-daughter relationships. Don't want to miss that. And then 2 weeks from now, Finesse Mitchell, who used to be on Saturday Night Live, will join me. Thank you for joining me. I'll see you next week. Take care. Have a good one.